Blackstone Publishing presents Watership Down by Richard Adams. This book is read by Peter Capaldi. To Juliet and Rosamond, remembering the road to Stratford-on-Avon. Note: Nuthanger Farm is a real place, like all the other places in the book. But Mr. and Mrs. Kane, their little girl Lucy, and their farmhands are fictitious and bear no intentional resemblance to any persons known to me, living or dead. Introduction. Richard Adams. Whenever our family had to make a long journey in the car, I used to tell stories to my two little girls. Some of these were stories that everybody knows, such as Cinderella and Jack the Giant Killer. But a lot of them were stories that I made up myself, and my daughters particularly liked these, because they felt that they were their own stories, and no one else's, made up for their own enjoyment. One day, when we had to make a journey of over 100 miles, they asked for a long story, which we have never heard before. Such a story could only be spontaneous. I began improvising and started with the first thing that came into my head. Once upon a time, there were two rabbits called Hazel and Fiver. For some of the animals in the story, I took characteristics and features from real people I had met over the years, so that each rabbit had a distinct individual personality. As for Kahar, the seagull, he was based on a Norwegian resistance fighter whom I had met during the war. Fiver was derived from Cassandra, the Trojan prophetess, who was cursed by the god Apollo always to tell the truth and never to be believed. To Hazel I gave the qualities of an officer under whom I had served. He had the natural power of leadership. He was not only brave, but modest and retiring, yet with excellent judgment. Bigwig was based upon another officer I knew, a tremendous fighter who was at his best when he had been told exactly what he had to do. In making up this anthropomorphic story, I followed the idea of Rudyard Kipling in his two jungle books. That is to say, although my rabbits could think and talk, I never made them do anything physical that real rabbits could not do. The story was not finished on that car journey, and I continued it during morning car runs to school. When at last it was finished, Juliet said, "That story is too good to waste, Daddy. You ought to write it down." At first, I demurred, but one evening, when I was reading aloud to them at bedtime from a not very good book, I finally threw it across the room and said, "Good Lord, I could write better than that myself." Rosamond said, "Well, I only wish you would, Daddy, instead of keeping on talking about it." Thus taken to task, I finally agreed. I used to write in the evenings after supper, and I read to the girls each bit as I finished it. They were free to criticize and often suggested alterations and additions, which I adopted. The comic rabbit Bluebell, for instance, was introduced at their suggestion. To make the rabbits as convincing as possible, I had recourse to The Private Life of the Rabbit by R. M. Lockley, a well-known English naturalist and ornithologist. We first met when I asked him to read the final draft of the book, and he contributed several good suggestions. I remember, in particular, that he devised the passage in Watership Down in which the rabbits raid Nuthanger Farm. We became great friends and used to go for walks together in the country. We also went together on a cruise ship through the Antarctic. An account of this was published in our book Voyage Through the Antarctic. Watership Down is a real place, like all the places in the book. It lies in North Hampshire, about 6 miles southwest of Newbury and 2 miles west of Kingsclere. When I was a little boy, I often walked on the downs with my father, who used to point out the birds and wildflowers, and thus began my lifelong love of natural history. The downs form a singular feature of southern England. Geologically, they are chalk, and have several birds and wildflowers peculiar to the chalk country. The Ordnance Survey map for this area is Sheet 174, which includes Watership Down in square 4957. This and sheet 185 cover the whole area of the story. The rapid language, Lapine, was invented word by word in the course of writing. This took place wherever a rapid word was needed, rather than words used by human beings. For example, going above ground to feed is a phrase hardly needed by human beings. But rabbits would need a single word, a word they quite often needed to use, for example, silfle. Again, tharn was a rabbit word meaning stupefied or paralyzed with fear. The Lapine plural suffix ill, rather than the English suffix s, was used to help to emphasize that Lapine was a different language. There is a certain amount of Arabic influence. For example, Khraka and Kihar. Baha is one of the Arabic words for sea. Again, some of the invented words were given a kind of woofy, fluffy sound. For example, Ephrafa, the sort of noises that rabbits might make if they did talk. There is no grammar or construction in the language. It is simply a motley collection of substantives, adjectives, and verbs. Here and there, a word is onomatopoeic, for example, hruzudu, the sound of a tractor going along. With regard to the epigraphs at the head of each chapter, Juliet said, "I like them because when you read one for the first time, you can't imagine how it is going to have anything to do with the story, and then, as you read on, you see how it does." I never thought of the book becoming a bestseller, but I did think in terms of a modest hardback, which I could give to my daughter saying, "There you are, this is the book you wanted me to write." I submitted it to one publisher after another, as well as to several literary agents. It was rejected again and again, 7 times in all, always on the same grounds. Older children wouldn't like it because it is about rabbits, which they consider babyish, and younger children wouldn't like it because it is written in an adult style. I refused to alter the draft in any way and went on knocking on doors. One day, I read in The Spectator a review of a book called Wood Magic by the Victorian author Richard Jefferies, first published in 1881 and never reprinted until now. It occurred to me that the publisher who had reprinted Wood Magic might possibly react favourably to my book. His name, I saw from the review, was Rex Collings. I guessed that this was a fairly small firm, without much capital, but it was worth a try. I got in touch with him and submitted the fair typescript. My judgment was right. Rex Collings accepted the book at once. It was he who gave it the title Watership Down. The first edition consisted of no more than 2,500 copies, as much as Rex Collings could afford. He might not have much money, but one thing he could do, he could get a review copy onto every London desk that mattered. That was in November 1972. I was staggered by the number of favourable reviews, but the first edition was quickly sold out, and quite a lot of people complained to me that, much as they wanted to buy a copy, apparently there was none to be had. That winter, Macmillan's, New York, accepted the book for publication. What followed was a rather amusing paradox. The American edition, a much larger one, attracted attention in the United Kingdom, so that in effect, the book came from America to England. The Penguin edition appeared in 1974. A deluxe edition, beautifully illustrated by John Lawrence, appeared in 1976. Since that time, the book has never been out of print and has been published in many translations throughout the world. Year by year, I receive a great deal of fan mail, not only from young people, but people of all ages. Following the example of the Duke of Wellington, who replied personally to every letter he received, I do my best to answer. Naturally, I am glad that the book has been enjoyed by so large a public, and that it plainly has a wide appeal, although the reason has never been altogether clear to me. I want to emphasize that Watership Down was never intended to be some sort of allegory or parable. It is simply the story about rabbits. made up and told in the car.